Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Gardo's won last night. Do I ask what might be on some people's mind now, or do I wait after Kafis Corner?
Well, I do know something's been grinding your gears all morning, Kenny.
A little bit. Which there's been two things Guardians related that's been grinding my gears.
What did the manager screw up in this game?
I don't know if the manager screwed anything up. I think it's a. I just had this thought when I heard after they won last night. Here's Steven Vogt on the big victory and how the Guardians, they just refused to quit.
Our guys never quit. That's one thing I love about this group. I'm so proud of them. They never quit regardless. Our back end of our bullpen doesn't give up runs very often. So, but they didn't get down. They stayed up and a little guards ball chaos there to get it going.
Guards ball chaos.
He's a good guy.
In the Big Apple.
I don't believe he's completely overmatched. I think he's a good manager. There's definitely things that they have to work out. No manager's perfect, clearly. No manager's perfect. But when I saw Hunter Gaddis out there in the eighth inning, I mean, the moment they showed him on TV, I go, oh, boy. You had that stealing feeling. And I think at times, Owen brought this up. Owen, you said it felt like a playoff atmosphere in Queens last night. Did you not?
Oh, yeah.
Loud crowd, boisterous crowd there. And I think there's times... because this goes back to the postseason, where Steven tends to overmanage a little bit. I know he knows he does not have that talented of a ball club. The Mets are supposed to get what they pay for. Everybody goes through swoons. We're seeing what the Yankees are doing right now. But I know that he knows he has to try to help them get there. But I think at times he's just, maybe he's pushing too many buttons. Because I think a lot of people did not like seeing Hunter Gaddis out there, and they would have rather had Cade Smith or somebody else out there than Hunter Gaddis at that moment. I'm just saying. Not that I want him gone or anything like that. I like Steven Vogt.
I mean, Cade's kind of the closer right now, right?
He is kind of the closer.
So Hunter would be the setup man, right?
Did you want Hunter Gaddis in that spot? Because not a lot of people
that's
did.
Where he's supposed to be.
Okay.
That's where he's supposed to be. It didn't work out. It was also against Francisco Lindor, Juan Soto, and Pete Alonso.
So I can't trust a major league pitcher against major league hitters?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it was the eighth inning and the setup man came out in a setup situation.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of people would have rather had somebody else.
So you would have rather ran the closer out in the eighth inning?
Because he did go,
two innings with Cade Smith. Can't go two innings with Cade Smith?
Well, you got him in the closer role.
But then you're not pitching him tonight.
You ended up having to put him out there
He had to go finish
out the eighth inning.
So are you saying
made a great play before that, and then he went and threw a couple pitches and got out of the inning?
I think Hunter Gaddis was way off last night, and I think I would have rather just had Cade Smith out there.
So sounds like you're just done with Hunter Gaddis in general then, which they can't be done with him.
No,
they have
Hold on. I don't think he's a setup guy. I think he's middle relief. That type of pressure, I don't think Hunter Gaddis responds well to. That was real pressure last night. Yet Slade Ciccone pitched well through six innings, things get wonky. That is a good lineup.
But over the last two seasons, they've used Hunter more in the setup role than they did Cade Smith even. Cade Smith was the stopper.
I understand.
Cade Smith came in, sixth inning whenever... things were starting to get out away from you.
Understood. And I have I had a 5-0 lead that turned into a 5-3 lead. I guess I have to stop the New York Mets because don't you tell me you saw Hunter Gaddis and you thought as things started to unravel.
After the third hit, I started to feel a little uneasy. I didn't feel uneasy before the inning started. Okay. No,
I did feel uneasy before the inning started.
I'm glad that you had that premonition.
Just seeing Hunter Gaddis in high leverage situations with a lot of things on the line. I don't tend to
send his ass back to Columbus.
I didn't say that either.
That never came out of my mouth.
Let's get Tim Herron back up here.
The Guardians have had some last year's bullpen was an all-time bullpen in the regular season.
Right.
we knew there was going to be some regression. Yeah. I mean, you had four guys.
One of those
that were,
guys will never play in baseball.
We had four guys that were unhittable.
All
you had four guys that were unhittable in the regular season. This is a little bit more normal. I mean, where Hunter Gaddis is right now, is ERA's at like 3.5?
Yeah.
I mean, that's closer to what you would expect.
By my experience, whether it be in a Mets uniform or a Yankees uniform for that matter, Juan Soto has very much enjoyed Hunter Gaddis's pitching. Don't know if I'd have rolled Hunter Gaddis out there against that group.
All right, you got to tell us each game now, the rest of the season, if it was good time to put in Hunter Gaddis or a bad time to put in Hunter Gaddis.
My God in heaven, does everything have to be this?
Well, I want to make sure because
we'll do 4 hours of revisiting. We got Kefis's corner now.
Here is what I'm having trouble.
Gaddis's garbage can, or what do I got to figure out there now?
Here is what I'm having trouble understanding because I saw a bunch of people, you're not alone, certainly a bunch of people yesterday were tweeting at both of us that this was a vote loss. Mind you, I just looked and I saw that they won. So that surprised me when I woke up in the morning. So here's what I am having trouble understanding. If your thought was during the 10-game losing streak, if you called the radio station, if you argued with your friends, if you argued with us, if you're on the Reddit boards and your point of view was the Guardians were doing nothing to win. They weren't trying to win. And this was a damn shame. We were all frustrated. I mean, 100%. We were all frustrated. This sucks. And I think basically 100% of the offseasons going forward is going to suck for a Guardians fan. I don't think they're ever going to play in the same. They're not going to wade in the same pool that all these other teams. Mind you, the team they were playing last night has a $323 million payroll. They're playing the Mets. And you had a game that was very sloppy, but as Owen said, was awesome, kind of had that feel, feel that game meant something.
That felt like a playoff atmosphere, and it felt like a playoff almost collapse there in the eighth as well. And then they bounced back, and they got some help from a bad fielding in the 10th inning.
Bunting's for winners, by the way.
Yeah.
That was a damn. That bunt was going to be successful one way or another. Right. They were going to advance the runners.
They were at least going to get Jose over to third.
Hold on. Here's the bigger point that I'm making, Ken. Is if your point was, not you necessarily, but if your point was they're not trying to win, whatever. But then we're still going to every game put vote under the microscope and ask if this is a vote loss, if this is a vote loss. You know, right now the Guardians have lost 55 games. It feels like. It's not like they've had, there are games where you just lose because your pitcher doesn't have it. They haven't had a lot of those. Their starting pitching's been really good. Has it not? Especially over the last, they've won all these series, you know, over the last month and a half.
Yeah, it's not been the guy that you thought it was, you know, everybody's dependent on Bybee, and it's not been Bybee. It's been Slade Ciccone.
They have piecemealed this thing together, and the pitching has acquitted itself as it usually does. When you have the one thing you can always have faith in for the Guardians is that in regular seasons, the rotation is going to give you chances to win. So they have this disparity in payroll every game. They have, by all accounts, by the Guardians fans who were so frustrated, all these other teams have the payroll and have the talent over us. Then how are we going to call every loss a vote loss? Like, aren't we now prepared to say that this team has doesn't have the talent that all these other teams are going up against, yet every game's a vote loss? What does vote have to work with then?
We did do the same
thing. We're all admitting the lineup stinks.
We did do the same thing last year when we asked what were vote losses and vote wins. Remember, you made me keep tally of that, and I actually did keep tally of that. The other part about Stephen Vogt is that I am pointing out that I said that at the beginning of the whole thing here, that he knows he does not have that talented of a ball club, so he has to push buttons and do some things that are different. However, at times, and because there's a lot of pressure on games against the Mets who have the $323 million payroll, there is a microscope on.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
That because you're playing in front of a full crowd that everybody thinks is a postseason game, feels like a postseason game. And when there's times where there's postseason games, you're seeing a young manager maybe press a few more buttons than he really needs to and pull a few more levers and all the other analogies that I could think of. I don't think that that's breaking any news to anybody. I think a lot of people have already believed that at the very early part of Stephen Vogt's hopefully great career with the Cleveland Guardians, he tends to overmanage in certain spots.
They are overperforming, according to Baseball Reference. You look at their run differential.
Didn't
you
say
look
they were
at
a
their
team.
You look at their Pythagorean. Yep. Are you familiar with that?
I love
the Pythagorean theorem.
Yes,
sir.
The expected win loss record based on the number of runs scored versus the number of runs yielded. They are overperforming. Yet, why does it feel like every time we're in a close game, Vogt cost him again? Like, you guys realize you can't hate the lineup and think it's the worst lineup in the history of baseball and then go after the manager every game.
Well, you're having a different conversation. I'm saying Vogt almost cost him this one. And you could poke holes in that. I didn't say a bunch of other ones. When they lost 10 in a row, I wasn't blaming them all on Vogt, now was I?
It feels like, I'm just telling you what it feels like in just gauging the sentiment every time they play any kind of a close game that they are in there. And people are frustrated with, well, he went to the wrong guy or he didn't put this guy in. And we've all shared in the frustration about the Manzardo situation. But they're 57 and 55. It feels like of the 55 losses, he's been blamed 50 times. And of the wins, we've had 50 almost losses.
I hate to tell you this.
You guys are acting like Vogt's the worst manager in the history.
Nobody's acting like Vogt's the worst manager in baseball.
But when you break it down the way I just did, it feels like every game, was that a Vogt loss? Was that a Vogt almost loss? Well, you guys tell me, how many? Where's the ledger? Do we need another column in the standings? Another vertical column? It's wins, losses, Vogt losses, and almost Vogt losses. Because I've heard all of that so far.
I think you welcome to trying to watch every single baseball game. I think that happens in a lot of cities.
So it just sounds like people don't have the stomach to realize that that baseball, there's 1,000 decisions.
Yeah.
And if in and one of those decisions you disagree with, that's now an almost Vogt loss. That sounds so silly.
It does seem silly, but that's part of what goes on with being a Major League Baseball manager in any city. It doesn't matter the payroll.
And are you keeping track just the same of all the other managers they're going up against?
Yes, I was just about to use Aaron Boone as an example. Their season is falling apart, according to Yankees fans.
Do you feel better with Vogt than the Yankee fans feel with Boone?
I think I definitely think I do.
So now he's an advantage for us.
I don't know if he's an advantage. Is he? Yes, of course Stephen Vogt's an advantage.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, it didn't sound like it. It hasn't sounded like it all year, to be honest, from the way people talk about Vogt. It's not sounded
people,
like an advantage
that's
all
people,
over.
That's not me. The guy you and I are having the conversation.
Yeah, the guy that won
There's
manager.
There's no fictitious audience out here booing you while you were talking about Stephen Vogt.
Yeah, the guy that won manager of the year last year is apparently being saddled with Vogt losses in games they won and almost losses in games they won and losses in games they didn't
lose. Oh, they went out and they won the game.
do you see how silly this is? That's what I'm saying.
So I guess we can never ask about baseball then.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, if you question anything that's questioning Stephen Vogt to be silly, then we're never going to be able to.
Where are the Vogt almost wins? Why is he not?
I will keep track again if you want me to.
In close games that they lose, say, man, they would have gotten blown out if it weren't for Stephen Vogt.
We got even more to go. How could I be a football guy with football season coming around when you're turning me into Casey Stengel?
I just want to be consistent. That is all.
I will be as consistent as possible. I said one thing one time. The other thing is not playing Kyle Manzardo every day.
But I agree with you.
Okay, so when you agree. So it's interesting. When Lima agrees with me, well, then we're being totally fair to Stephen Vogt. But when he doesn't agree to me, how dare you guys question the defending manager of the year?
How dare
you people on Reddit?
I just would love
that I'm not having a conversation with him.
I want to get you on record. You are taking Hunter Gaddis out of the setup role.
I do not like pitching Hunter Gaddis against teams that are good. No, I don't.
So you just don't like seeing him at all then.
I don't have a lot of confidence in him. No, I don't.
Do you have another option other than Cade Smith two innings?
No, my other guys rather go to a casino. Allegedly.
Okay, so we got to do something.
I got Doyle Brunson as a former closer.
Do you want Tyler Huntley to do the setups too? We can bring him in for that.
I mean, if you're not going to be throwing footballs, I usually, you know what? There's a lot of quarterbacks that usually are pretty good pitchers. Jameis Winston was a hell of a college pitcher.
He did other things in college, too.
Played outfield.
Yep. And there's another.
He played outfield.
It's a very specific thing.
People yell things on tables. Are you ready for Kafis Corner, Mitch?
Oh, it's time. So we got to do this. This is important.
Set this up.
Yesterday, there was outrage
on this
very show that we had finally. We've been complaining throughout the season. When is the front office going to do what they need to do? The offense is inept. The lineup is inept. We've got to add some juice. Then every game, we're seeing what's Cephas doing in the minors. What's Cephas? My buddies were going to see him.
Yep.
They were loving him. Granted, same thing with DeLauder, but unfortunately, that's been taken out of play in Bezzana. Well, the injury, obviously the setback earlier this year. So Cephas was this new exciting thing that we had to monitor, and Owen said flat out, we dropped the ball yesterday. Owen, right?
Correct, I did.
And you know what? I left the show thinking,
I'm not going
to argue with Owen.
I actually said that the front office dropped the ball because they waited 2 weeks too soon. That's why you guys didn't talk about them.
Yes, that or this
2 weeks
this
too
was
late,
not
sorry.
The time to maximize the craziness
if they
of
wanted
Cephas.
Cephas crazies to be out there like I was, they should have done this in the beginning of July and not waited until August.
So all four of us decided, well, enough is enough. We are going to give not just Owen, we are going to give the fans what they want, what they've been craving, what they've been salivating, what they've had a hankering for. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Cephas Corner.
Am I supposed to do something?
Do it.
Mitch, you will be breaking down CJ Cephas like never before. Like, you guys didn't even know you wanted this, but you did, and you are going to get it.
We'll
you are
going to
get CJ Cephas.
Mitch, what did CJ Cephas do last night in the game?
CJ Cephas pinch ran for David Fry in the top of the 10th inning following bunts. David Fry's bunt that scored a run in the 10th inning. Advanced to third base on a ground ball, or on a flyout rather, that got the run in for the second one, and then unfortunately was not able to score on, surprise, surprise, a Nolan Jones pop-up.
Now, Mitch, I'm a little nervous here because this was the first airing of Cephas Corner, and you totally screwed up two of the situations.
He's nervous.
Involved in Cephas Corner.
So nervous.
Why did Cephas Corner have you?
Oh,
have you scrambling?
Like,
I want to do more things with Cephas Corner, but we can't do it if it's like that. I want to do elements.
Yeah.
And sounds.
Yeah, a little bit of sound, jazz it up a little bit.
Maybe get the voice guy saying something about CJ Cephas.
We love a big
and
voice
his
guy.
Corner.
It completely validates a segment the minute you bring in a big voice guy. And Mitch, you know, there are going to be games where he has four at bats, five at bats.
We can do Chase DeLauder Corner. We'll do the theme song from Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. General Hospital.
Well, we've done that one before.
It's part of that year I told you about.
Can we do a Class A Corner? Same game parlay. Hola, amigos. Beat the books.
We'll do offshore Class A.
For those just tuning in, that is a reference from the show. That is not anything having to do with... Where is the crick
just
girl?
Just get the theme song to Aces High from the show Casino.
Yes.
And move it on.
They get Rothstein in here. Which, as he cycles through different jobs throughout the casino.
And I'm
we'll
looking
give
at
you each game, each night. You're Luis Ortizer.
Oh, yes. See, it's all coming together. Mitch, we're doing the work, man. This is going to be teed up. This is going to be so easy for you.
Oh, my God.
Unless Nolan Jones is at the plate, and then we're going to be in trouble.
Hey, three times. Okay.
Good job, Mitch.
All right. That's day one of Cephas Corner. We'll see what happens.
He's playing all right.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.